Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's truly remarkable how time can fly. It feels like it wasn't too long ago that Rachel and I were pulling up to 440 South First Avenue, excited and full of joy. Not only were we going to be starting our year of vicarage, but also our family. We were so ready to meet the wonderful people of our Redeemer and see what God had in store for us. It just doesn't feel exactly real to me that this is my last Sunday with you as vicar. But that's the deal, isn't it? No matter what your situation in life, your job, your friends, or even church family, the inevitable is true. All good things must come to an end. And honestly, I've always found that phrase to be kind of dismal. See, the implication of that statement is, no matter what good things are occurring, no matter what joys you're experiencing in your life, that has to come to an end, which means that something bad is always around the corner. See, all good things must come to an end, which means all bad things must begin at some point. However, as I look back on this past year, it seems like it's not necessarily wrong. See, Daisy's birth was a wonderful event full of joy and excitement, but the lack of sleep that followed afterwards was anything but joyous. I mean, this year, 2020, has become a year of stress and anxiety that just seems to have no end. What started as a new year full of hopes and plans, a new year, new me, has become a blank calendar with the words COVID-19 replacing all the events, all the hopes and plans we had for this year. In fact, as we turn to our reading in the Old Testament, we see that the same thing holds true. You see, God is reminding the people in Deuteronomy of his love for them and the mighty work that he did in bringing them out of Egypt. But even then, it seemed like the good life of the Israelites was about to end. Remember the wandering in the wilderness, the constant idolatry, the wars they had to fight, their return to their sinful and evil life was nothing short of pain and misery. I mean, sure, God saved his people time and time again, but what did he really get in return? They killed his prophets. They wanted a king instead of God. Time and time again, they cried out for the Baals and the Ashtaroth. I mean, these were the same people to whom God said, "The faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." Well, obviously, the Israelites fall more than a little short. So thanks be to God that we have the assurance of Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. I mean, these words, they came long after the Israelites heard the promises of Deuteronomy. So as long as we love God, all things work together for good, right? So how do we measure up? Because personally, I fall short. Do you put aside the words of God in favor for the words of men? Do you put your trust and hope in worldly authorities and power over God? Do you lay your time, your talents, and your treasures at the altar of this world? Perhaps you're better than I am, because I fall short daily. See, it's in the moments when I really examine myself and the words of Romans 8:28 that I get scared. See, if all things work together for good for those who love God, do I really love God if I fall short? And if not, does it mean that all my good things are coming to an end? It's scary to think about. See, especially when I read through the parables that we have before us today. I mean, did I sell all that I had to buy the field or the pearl? And if you and I are fish that are gathered up by the angels and sorted into good containers or cast into the fire, which one are you? All good things must come to an end. Which is why we should never just read Romans 8:28 and think only of ourselves. See, the second half of Romans 8:28 is what brings us to reality. For those who are called according to his purpose. You see, beloved in the Lord, it's not about you. Just as the promises in Deuteronomy to the Israelites, it's not about the capacity the Israelites had to love God. or to keep the law. It's based on the love of God. So too does God's love for you. It doesn't rely on you. See, God's the one who calls you. God's the one who strengthens you. See, with this confidence, you and I can be as bold as Paul and say, if God is for us, who can be against us? See, God didn't prove he was for us with some kind of half-hearted gesture, but in that Jesus Christ came down from heaven and was crucified for us on the cross. See, Paul points this out in his letter to the Romans in verse 32, when he says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? See, the common mistake that you and I make, well, far too often, is that we believe it all depends on us. See, when you and I hear the phrase, all good things come to an end, we nod our heads and we think, of course, good things come to an end for us all the time. At least the things you and I consider to be good. Things like jobs, our relationships, our ability even to get a good night's sleep without a baby crying in the middle of the night. See, this is why I love hymn 540. Christ, the Word of God incarnate. It reminds me with every word of the glorious deeds of the God you and I serve. This is the God who is life. Christ is a life that cannot die. See, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and cursed all of creation, Christ didn't forsake them. When the people of God killed his prophets, when they asked for kings, or when they followed after other gods, Christ was still promised to come. The people who witnessed Christ, they didn't love him. They didn't respect him. They crucified him. But Christ did this all for you and for me. Christ died for us so that he could be the firstborn from the dead. Christ died so that we could have the life that cannot die. Christ rose for you and I so that we could have a worship that's unending. Because this life, it's not everything. Those who have passed before us in the faith, they know this to be true. Christ, the Word of God incarnate, led them to the heavenly mansions where one day you and I will join them. And the world that Christ will create will be an unending one, a world that has no end. This weekend, it's the last weekend that Rachel, Daisy, and I will worship with you as the Vicar family. Doesn't look at all like it did in the beginning, does it? So soon we're going to be on our way back to the seminary, and our good time here will end. And this is the life of a vicar. Our Redeemer knows that very well. In the passage of time, there are many things in our lives that will come to an end. Jobs, relationships, church families, and even one day, our lives here on earth. But all good things must come to an end? Not true. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there will be a world without end. There will be a worship that is unending. And I look forward to seeing you in the new creation. A world without end. So be it. Amen. As followers of Christ, keep loving one another earnestly and show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Amen.